All right, tomorrow we're going balls to the wall. You know, it's something's gonna die, either us or an elk.
He nervous grunted at us. He ripped one bugle and he left. He left all the cows there. You know, he's like, oh, I'm like, that's him. I think you worded it as long as it's not a spike, I'm going to be happy. I'm like, perfect. This is one of the first mistakes I made because I thought about it after the fact. He chuckled twice and that should have cued me in that he had cows.
I'm like, oh man, it was like all of that adrenaline hitting, like all of the freaking 4 years worth of elk hunting hitting me at once.
This is John Stallone of Days in the Wild and you're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
Our culture needs people that are leaders and not people that are waiting for somebody else to show them how to do it.
Those fields of tofu, that was formerly habitat for wildlife. You're killing off wildlife by being a vegetarian just as much as a hunter when he kills a deer.
I'm like, well, you see that bush right there? There's your bathroom.
My dad wears a Levi jacket. He sits in front of a sagebrush and he tells me the best camo is hold still.
Not to Donnie Vincent this, but be relentless in everything you do. Don't crap out. Go back to the truck with excuses or whatever.
Okay, assume I get a deer. How do I cut it up to fit into a Honda Civic?
Just get outside. Just get outside and go. Because once you do, it's all gravy from there.
Hey, this is Zach Griffith.
This is Hannah Barron.
This is Jason Phelps with Phelps Game Calls.
Hey, guys. This is Cody Rich from the Rich Outdoors Podcast.
What's up, guys? This is Chad Mendez.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative, brought to you as part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
All right, y'all, so getting on to today's episode, y'all, you've probably figured out by now because this podcast won't be coming out for another week, but I finally got my first elk after 4 years of injuries and poor decision-making and hard work. So I'm sitting down. We're recording this literally a couple hours after the elk was shot. What, it's 2:32 now? We probably shot it 11:30. Was it?
No,
was it earlier than that?
I think it was just a little bit earlier than that. I'll tell you right now.
Well, John's looking up the video.
I got it on
video.
To
check the time. But I'm here with the one and only John Stallone of Interviews with the Hunting. Well, no, I'm so used to saying that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Days in the Wild, the rebrand.
You shot him at 9:15. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, John, I do also believe this is a record. I believe you are officially the most frequent guest on the podcast as of this.
Yes.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
What? Do I get a certificate or something?
I'll send you a gold star in the mail.
Sweet.
A plaque. Yeah. But yeah, so, Drew, Arizona elk tag this year, against all odds.
Yeah. You didn't have any points, right?
I had 3 points.
Oh, 3 points. Okay.
And somebody, I was looking, I think this is like a 12, 13 point unit for out of state.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone's posting their like tag draws and this and that for Arizona. And I'm like, I already had something else I had to check on my credit card statement anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, I better go look. And I look, I'm like, okay, you know, that didn't hit. And I'm like, okay, Arizona Fishing Game. And I'm,
what?
No. I just kind of keep going through. I'm like, and I look back, I'm like, no. Like, but I couldn't process it. It was like out of the realm of existence. And I'm like, well, shoot. I'm like, oh, it must be a different tag or something that I put in for. And I'm like, no, the price isn't right for anything else. And so I think I finally ended up having to text a few people, like send them screenshots. And I'm like, does this mean what I think it means? And they're like, yeah, hate you. That's what it means. But I think I texted you that day.
You did.
I shot you a text that day or sent you a call. I'm like, hey, buddy, guess what?
Yeah, that's awesome. We didn't know at the time. You thought you might have drawn 9.
That's right. That's right.
You put 9 as your first choice and 8 as your second choice. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which is weird that I ended up drawing 8. I'm kind of surprised.
Well, here's the thing. The way the draw... Actually, I think... I'm not sure in your situation this holds true, but... So if you put your first tag or your first preference hunt, let's say, and it requires 10 points to draw it, and you have 6 points, and then you put your second choice in, and that only requires 6 points to draw, you're almost guaranteed, and I think you actually are guaranteed you're going to get your the one that's on 6 points.
Okay.
I think that's the way it works, and I don't know why. It's been explained to me a million times, but like
I hear the odds here are really hard to calculate for Arizona.
I mean, the one good thing about Arizona is you mathematically have a chance, obviously.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what. You mathematically have a chance to draw no matter what. I know guys that drew sheep tag on their first try. I mean, there's guys waiting 30 years.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think, you know, according to Go Hunt or whatever, you know, I think my odds were less than a 1% chance of drawing this tag, which again, you know, it's like one or 3 points
You're saying there is a chance.
Exactly. Which is also what I always tell people. I'm like, don't just buy preference points if you don't,
don't want to go that year. Like it's the only time that I buy a preference point is when I'm like, you know what? I don't want to draw this year. Cause I got this, and this going on or whatever. Yeah. But if I put in, you know, I'm sitting there fingers crossed, you know, waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
this is encouragement to everyone out there
with your awesome luck in drawing a tag. You also had shitty ass luck having the worst rut that I've ever experienced.
Well,
maybe 2002 was a little bit worse.
I was going to say, weren't you talking to someone, like a few people, and they're like, yeah, everybody this is literally the worst rut.
I reached out to about 6 different outfitters that I know, and David Rigo, who's the game of fish warden here in the area, he said it. All the guys that I talked to that are hunting neighboring units too, they're saying it. The only guy that was hearing, which is funny because 11M is not typically a very rut-crazed unit.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only unit that I heard that bulls were screaming. They were getting crazy. So, I mean, as far as in the neighboring area.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I didn't talk to anybody in 23 or, you know, any of that ones or any of that stuff. So, but in the Flagstaff area, everybody was saying the same thing. 7 West, 7 East, 9, 10, even not really seeing or hearing the same.
Well, and I mean, we were talking about it today. We're pretty lucky, especially compared to what we were talking to other people in this unit. Mm-hmm. We're saying all but really one day we were chasing bugles.
Right.
And you know, that Tuesday was a rough Tuesday.
Yeah.
But
it was a Tuesday. I mean, what will happen on Tuesday? We could start from the beginning. So Monday was our first day, was Monday. I told you, let's not start on opening weekend because it's always a shit show. Mm-hmm. Let's start on Monday. And had I known it was going to be the way it was, I probably would have said, let's start on Wednesday or Thursday. You know, let's give it a little bit more time. You know, you have 6 days with me, and then you'll still have a couple days after if it doesn't work out, whatever. But anyway, so we started on Monday. Monday morning, we went on I picked a spot based on some of the scouting that I did and some intel that I had gotten about, and I had showed you those pictures that I had,
that
tank had giant bulls on it. I mean, mm-hmm. giant bulls. There was two bulls over 360, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so we went up in that area, and there was rubs everywhere, and we're just, you know, ghosting through. But we're bugling.
Well, you were ghosting through.
You got the hang of it by the end.
So we do need to address this, and this is something I want to talk through on the podcast is some of the ways you can see I can improve as a hunter, because I think, you know, that'll be useful stuff to share. But I think the number one note of the weekend, and correct me if I'm wrong, is my clomping, tromping bull in a china shop through the woods.
Yeah.
When I think I'm being quiet.
I mean, there's times that, like I said, when you're making elk sounds and you're trying to pretend like you're an elk, it doesn't really matter if you're making noise because elk make noise when they walk.
But again, it's the kind of noise you're making that point too.
Yeah. If you're kicking rocks, elk don't usually kick rocks. Yeah. They don't scuff their feet.
I walk with very heavy feet, and apparently I do not lift my feet nearly enough.
About half an inch off the ground.
Yeah.
Anything that's in that profile is going.
It's going flying.
I gave up internally, mentally, to correct you on it after like 3 days. I was like, you know what? It's not
even worth it. I want to say day four was when I finally started getting it a little more naturally.
Yeah.
It's retraining yourself completely how to walk from something you've been doing effectively.
You got to place your foot. Yeah. I always, when I walk, if you think about stepping heel toe, every step, no matter what, mm-hmm. whatever direction you have to put your foot. And when you're looking ahead, not down at your feet, recognize spots that you're going to step before you get there. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes time and practice.
That I actually started kind of picking up more today was looking ahead. So I wasn't always looking right where I was about to step.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, but to where I could still keep my eyes scanning and you know, looking for movement, things like that. Because, I mean, that's where I would struggle. Like, I would look up, I'd be scanning, and I'd lose focus, lose track, and I'd start kicking shit again.
I always start kicking stuff when I'm trying to go fast. Or, like, on the way back to the truck, I'm just, like, I'm clumsily walking, and I'm just,
Well, yeah, and any time we tried to go fast, dear Lord, everything was out the window for me. I'm like,
That's okay. It's okay. You guess what? You shot an elk.
There we go. But yeah, so we got up.
We got up in there and
we heard some bugles.
No,
and not from the road, I don't think.
We didn't hear anything until like 8:30 that morning.
It was when we got up there a ways though, because I remember you let one off, and we heard they were faint, because you were like, how the hell did you not hear those?
Oh, yeah. You're right. It was faint. It was real faint.
That's the other thing is I'm deaf.
Yeah, you are deaf, which is crazy, because I'm deaf as F right now, and so you are, like, super deaf. You're clinically deaf. I heard them faint in the distance, and it was kind of, the breeze picked up, was getting a little windy. I was like, where did that come from? And then I slid around and I let that courting bugle out because I knew that would get mm-hmm. them woken up. And then he ripped off and I was like, oh, he's not that far.
Yeah.
You know, we were just kind of like around that knob and we couldn't hear him good. We slipped in and we quietly closed the distance because I didn't know if he had cows. He wasn't
There was no way to get a read on him, really.
Yeah, because he wasn't bugling back. It was just like an occasional bugle, you know, every once in a while. And I was like, okay, we're going to have to go in and like slow play this guy or whatever, and, you know, or cow call. Originally, in my head, I was thinking we were just going to end up going in there and cow calling him.
Yeah.
And then as we were slipping in, I got eyes on the cows. There were cows with him. And I was like, oh, shit, there's cows. And so we got in. I think we got to like 60 yards on it. And I'm trying to get your freaking attention. And I'm like,
oh, that's right.
He was again, right there.
The same like, realization right that I was deaf. I did not hear you say that they're right there.
I'm like, because
I was like a few steps behind you. I was trying to get up, get up close enough. And
when you moved, I think one of them caught movement.
Yeah.
And it kind of like scampered ahead a little bit. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, all right, let's just let things chill. They don't know what's up. They didn't really see you. They didn't smell you, whatever. And we sat there for what, like a half an hour, maybe not even. And then we got in close again. And I'm like, all right, we're close on this guy's cows. Let's.
Well, no, I think we skirted around that time. And because we were trying to get a more of a beat on where he was, because we found the cows again, but we couldn't figure out what he was doing, where he was going.
Okay.
Remember, we kind of backed out of there. We let them settle.
Yeah.
And they took off, but we backed out of there and we went, and that's when we went sat for a while. Uh-huh. Both had some snacks and,
Well, all I know is that we got it in 60 yards on his cows and he was right there and I ripped a bull calling cows bugle or a roundup bugle.
Yeah, that's right.
And he nervous grunted at us and he ripped one bugle and he left. He left all the cows there.
The cows were all bedded.
They were just bedded laying there and they didn't even get up and go after them. So there must have not have been a hot cow and it was just a young... I never really got good eyes on him. I mean, I could tell he wasn't a big bull to begin with, but...
Yeah, it was very much like that guy that you kind of get into an argument with on the street. Mm-hmm. And then he's like backing away from you, just being like, come at me, bro. What are you going to do about it? As he's like walking away from you.
Yeah.
That's legitimately what it felt like the entire time. Yeah. But.
I mean, he took off and we kind of sat there and we're like, oh, let's see what's going on. And then eventually I just pulled us out of there and we went and sat you on a tank that night.
Yeah. That was the first, we built the brush blind and that was that first tank.
Which you basically did every evening except for yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday was the first day. That was the plan because we weren't really chasing bugles, didn't have a bead on, mm-hmm. Tuesday, like you said, was horrendous. We didn't see an elk, we didn't hear an elk, nothing the whole day.
That was a full bow hike day.
Until?
We're driving back.
Yeah, we did like at least 10 miles on foot, and I don't know how much in the truck, but driving back. That one raghorn bull crossed with those two cows
mm-hmm.
in front of us. I'm like, this is where we're going to start tomorrow. I said, there's elk in this. They're going to be right in this.
Yep.
And I kind of looked at the topography and I'm like, okay, where are they going to be? I looked at where the tanks were. And that's kind of what I do like a lot is I'm a big topo guy. Like I have a sense. I've developed a sense. I wasn't born with it. I've developed a sense of where elk like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And where they're going to bed. So, and that was pretty much the story the whole time, like how we kept getting back into them because that bull where we first found him was like 4 miles from where we end up on him again today.
I was going to say that Tuesday was what really set off the eventually getting the bull.
Right.
The bull I got.
So Wednesday morning we got on him. That guy was... We were on him. I mean, it's a big bull. It was a 360 bull. He had five other bulls in that canyon with him, all screaming their heads off, right?
And it was almost like hard to make a decision which one to go after. There were so many all around us, and there's a few big ones. Oh, geez, yeah.
I just remembered when we first set up, and I was going to do the breeding sequence and rake the tree and everything. When you got up to go, and I'm like trying to get your attention to look a certain direction because the other bull it was coming across you at like 60 yards.
Oh, geez.
But it was kind of dark already. I mean, it was still somewhat dark and whatever. Like,
I'm you not were focused. Sure
the big guy was in front of us bugling, and that's where you were focused on, which is good.
And I caught my eye finally, and I turn and look. I'm like, am I an idiot? Did I like just set up the wrong direction? Because I didn't realize you were like trying to tell me there was a bull over there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, then I guess I'll set up this way. And I'm like, it seems weird because the bugles are getting. No, there was just a giant. It was honestly, for me, it was a little too early to be shooting. Like, trying to be as ethical as possible, I would have struggled to see my pins correctly and take... Especially at 60 yards,
I would have
struggled to make that shot.
Gotcha.
And so I probably would have had to
pass on him.
It was close. It was like it was right in that spot where I probably would have drawn. I would have looked through and been like, "We'll see."
He didn't blow out or anything. He just kind of like and turn around and started walking down that hill. Off. He came up, because I made those three cow sounds mm-hmm. or whatever. But anyway, so we finally get on the herd bull. And we're following and following and following. 6:30 comes, boom, shuts up.
Yep.
I mean, it was only light for what, 40 minutes?
Oh, geez. Not it even. Was.
I got off. Yeah, we snuck in on them in the dark at 4:30 in the morning. Like, we were going with red flashlights and
closing the distance. It was still dark. He shut up right after we passed that dry water hole, and it was still dark when we passed that water hole. Like, it was just getting light enough to turn off our headlamps.
It was 6. I remember exactly 6:30. He shut up. It wasn't that light when we got to there. It wasn't that dark, you mean?
I think we had just shut off our headlamps before that, but
anyway, regardless. I digress. Anyway, so and then that afternoon, I put you on the water hole and I try to relocate them in that canyon. They weren't there. Again, I busted out Onyx Maps. I looked at the topography and I'm like, you know what? I bet you any amount of money he went up and he went over and he went to this. Because they like flat, at least here in Arizona. I mean, I don't know this to be true in other states, but they like flat mesas type of country to rut in. And I figured that's where he's going to be tomorrow morning. That's where he's going to be all night long with his ladies.
Well, it's a lot easier to get busy on flat ground than it is on a steep slope.
Exactly. So the next morning we got up and around, but there was three other hunters there. We had another hunter move in on us also that Wednesday morning also. Yeah.
I mean, to some extent, that's kind of been the story of...
Oh, yeah.
Except for the last 2 days,
We forgot to mention on Tuesday, I called in six
hours. Oh, geez, yeah, I forgot about that. I do have to say, so this was kind of a dickish move on our part, but it was...
That was funny.
A hell of a lot of fun.
I had to do it.
So we were like 60-40 that it was a hunter, and we were like, okay, if there's a chance this is a bull, let's call it in. So I set up. You called it in, and then we started just, like you said, how they were calling, the calls they were making, everything. It was like, this is
a hunter. Yeah,
it's clearly a hunter. And you're like, hey, man, I'm gonna let off a, wait, was it just like a nervous grunt or something? I'm going to let off a nervous grunt, and we're going to sprint out and get these guys' heart rate up a bit.
Yeah, we just ran out of there like a bunch of elk crashing, breaking things.
Oh my God.
Just making them think they busted the elk. Like, they were coming in with bad wind. They were cow calling in the hallway. Like, I mean, it was so obvious that it wasn't elk.
The way I figure it.
But I had them going.
The way I figure it is because there was nothing else that day. So I guarantee they were having the same day we were having. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
And so if that got them like a little bit stoked and gave them that little adrenaline rush to kind of like hunt hard the rest of the day, we're doing a damn public service.
Yep, exactly. That's how I felt. I'm like, they probably get made their day.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, man, we got within like 50 yards.
And then we got like, what, a couple hundred yards away from them. And then that other guy started bugling at us.
We had dudes cow calling on either side of us at one point.
I'm like, that's the Fox Pro bugle.
It's the exact same one you have.
I'm like, that's the Fox Pro bugle. I know that sound. And he kept doing it over and over and over.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, but it definitely started us in on the path we were on that day by the end of it. And, we got surrounded by those five cows. And we were after those. When we were surrounded by the five cows, we were after that one for, that was 4 or 5 miles, something like that. We just kept dogging him. He kept getting further and further away. And he finally shut up.
Thursday morning talking about?
No, this was like the Wednesday when we were in the five of them. Wednesday, we were dogging him for a while until we got to that flat where we found they all bedded.
Yeah.
But then Thursday... Wednesday I went and sat Wednesday the tank night. Again.
Yep.
And it's just, we were trying to play the odds with that tank too, because it was seeing, we knew there was bulls coming to it. We had footage of bulls coming to it.
We had some intel from some friends of mine, but.
Yeah. And so we're like, okay, he's going to come back. He may, sit it for enough evenings in a row unless something we know comes up beforehand.
Right.
Odds are. Gonna shoot a bull.
Exactly. No moon. I figured he'd come in daylight. But anyway, so Thursday morning, we get up there and there's a hunter parked literally where I wanted to go. And
I'd say that was about 40% of the time.
They walked over and started talking to us, and they were the two guys that were on the bulls also.
That's right.
The morning before. And we shared, some whatever intel, I guess, with each other. And there was a guy sitting on the water tank above us. So I'm like, listen, let's just go up. Let's go in between. We'll get in there. And everything we did, the wind was bad. The wind was bad. We couldn't go after these elk at all. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go to where they're going. Let's do that. Let's go to where they're going. Let's make it like, again, I broke out the map. I'm like, okay, this is where they're going to go. We got over there. The wind was good for us. And nothing. Crickets. We don't hear shit. And I'm like, well, maybe they're not going to come here. I don't know. I thought they were going this direction. Anyway, so we sit down and we're having a little snack or whatever. Drink some water. I'm like, all right, well, let's start. Let's keep heading in this direction. I said, we're either going to go and circle, you know, circle around this little hill, or we're going to go up through this saddle and check to see, because on the other side of the saddle is another water hole. So I said, but before we go, let me, you know, make some cow sounds. And I started making some cow sounds. All of a sudden he rips off.
Yep.
Right. And I'm like, there he is, right where we said he was going to go. Right. So we start heading over there. We get like 200 yards away. Not even. I think like 175 yards away from where we were sitting. And another bugle rips behind us. And we turn around and you're like, there's elk right there. And that bull with three spikes and like three cows literally passed the same spot we were sitting. If we would have just sat there and eating, or if I didn't make those cow sounds and hear him, we would have been sitting there.
Oh, shit.
There's an elk. 20 yards.
Oh, look, we're already set up.
Yeah, exactly. It would have worked out perfectly. So, you know, that was Thursday night or Thursday day.
It was a little excitement. That was kind of a rough day because we hiked a lot that day.
Yeah.
We did 7-8 miles that day?
In the morning. Yeah. Just the morning. Yeah.
Yeah, we won't talk about it. You put on some mileage because I'd be sitting in those tanks and you'd be putting on miles listening for bugles.
And you know what? Every evening I went out, I could not buy a bugle.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't buy one. I think that night I went to a completely different area where I had gotten some intel. And I went in there and I could not. I mean, I probably put another 6 miles that night.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Hiking around in there, didn't hear a peep. So brings us to Friday morning again. I'm like, well, that bull that we heard, Mr. Bugles, we called him.
Mm-hmm.
We heard Mr. Bugles going this way, and we end up going back after those other ones because they were way closer.
Yeah,
right. And we left Mr. Bugles alone. I said, let me look at the map. Where is he gonna go? Well, there's three water holes here. There's a nice flat mesa here. Some good hillside cover with the benches on it. He's going to go over there. He's going over there. I know he is. Sure as shit. The next morning, Friday morning, we get up there. It's like, what, 4:30, 5? Oh, 5. We got there a little.
Yeah, because we got there late because it.
Yeah.
We went and checked a couple other spots and everything got messed up.
We saw that's the morning that we saw elk cross the road in front of us.
Yeah, that's right. And we stopped there and we got super distracted by those guys.
Spent time trying to figure out if there was a bull with that herd of cows or whatever.
Yeah, it was just we saw the one cow kind of off. That's right.
We got in there pretty late for my taste.
Yeah, we didn't get there until like just after, like hair after 5, something like that.
Like 5:15 or something like that, yeah. And so we get out of the truck and we're just sitting there waiting, quiet. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna bugle. And I bugle. Boom, instantaneously, Mr. Bugles.
Oh, yeah.
You know? He's like, oh, I'm like, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear a satellite bull like maybe 150 yards closer to us.
Yep.
He lights off. And we're like, okay, let's do this. So we start cutting the distance in the dark and it's getting lighter and lighter as we go. And we get in between the satellite bull and him. And now they're going. So I don't have to say shit. Mm-hmm. They're going at each other. And because that satellite bull, I'm assuming that bull is one of the bulls from the canyon that when we first found them in.
Yeah.
Must have been harassing him a few times because he started roundup bugling right away. It was like first light. It was roundup bugling and he was taking his cows out of there. The satellite bull was staying still. And at this point now, because we haven't had much luck, and it's getting close. So it was Friday. We only have one more day, Saturday, which is today. We're like, let's go try to get the satellite bull. We could cow call him in.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Well, and so we had this discussion, and just to clarify for everyone, we had this discussion beforehand. You know, you ask all your clients this, you know, what are your trophy goals? What are your measures of success for this hunt? Are you just happy with anything? Is it go big or go home? I want something respectable. Right. Like, well, you know, what are your goals? And I told you, I'm like, here's the deal. Like, again, like it's rare that I'm going to draw this tag. So I would like to go for something big, like, you know, 300 plus would be friggin' insane.
Right.
But you know what? If I go home with just a cool bull that we worked hard for, I'm going to be more than stoked.
I think you worded it as long as it's not a spike, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
I'm like, perfect. You're my favorite client ever. No, I mean, honestly, like, there's nothing worse for me, in my opinion, when a guy's like, I want X amount of inches or that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're already going into it not enjoying the hunt. You're like, you're already going into it not when you have those expectations. Like, because everything's a letdown. Oh, that was a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
That encounter wasn't cool. That was a letdown, you know?
Yeah.
So... But now, at this point, we got a certain amount of desperation.
Yeah.
now we're like, Brown is down, you know? Like, that's the mentality that I'm starting to feel, you know? Anyway, so we got this satellite bull that's bugling hard. The other guy's walking away like he always does. He freaking rounds up his cows and goes away. You know, and we've already put where... We didn't say the tactics or whatever that I used prior to try to get that big bull to come in. But...
I feel like that.
I pulled out all the stops. Yeah. I mean, raking trees, you know, round up bugles.
Oh, John was having some elk orgies back behind me when we were set up. It was rather impressive.
Full on. I have the Fox Pro doing freaking cow sounds while I'm raking and bugling and
grunting like, and grunting.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm putting on a show for sure. I was a one man band. I was one of those guys that, you know, that
with has the drum set on the front, the cymbals.
Yeah, that was me.
You know, I feel like that was the story. Honestly, with all the bulls that we really encountered, they weren't like. I feel like the rut was just starting to take hold, and none of them they were not like.
Oh.
All right, let's throw down and let's figure some shit out. Like, this was. Like, well, now I got my ladies, I'm going.
For instance, this satellite bull, a satellite bull like that, that's trying to get cows from another bull, you start throwing cow calls at them, they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Their fucking pecker gets hard and they come flying at you. You know, it's like,
they're the desperate, thirsty dude at about 2 a.m. once the bar's closing down.
Exactly. Scooping up the dregs.
They hear anybody say, oh, I'm so tipsy. They're like, hello.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but that wasn't the case. We snuck in there, and I was is my cow call sound like crap? Am I doing something wrong? Do I sound like a fat bitch or what? What is this? I don't know what's going on. And he started walking away, but he was bugling, and he was location bugling as he was walking away. And I'm like, I'm right here, right here, meow meow. I'm right here.
Maybe he was as deaf as I am.
I don't know, man. Anyway, so I'm like, well, that guy's out of the picture. So, again, let me look at the topo. Where's Mr. Biggs going?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a big herd. He's got to hide him in a nice, cool place. Where is he going to go? There's a water hole down below us. There's this, there's that. I'm like, all right, let's go after him. And I know where he's going.
because he had kind of shut up a little bit. Like, he started out, he was like talking.
Yeah. Oh, as soon as he got away from us, and he got his cows walking with him, he shut up. Yeah. He was roundup bugling. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's going, okay, ladies, let's go. Okay, ladies, let's go. That's what he was doing. And so we get down there and we get into a spot where I'm like, he's either going to be here or he's going to be here. And I let off one of those. He blasts.
Instantaneous
blasts. And I was like, all right. So we start cutting the distance.
Well, and that was after. So at this point, we had already covered 4 miles, something like that, under.
Yeah, we were somewhere around three.
It was somewhere around that. And then I just remember we come to the edge of this bowl, and I'm like, I just remember thinking.
Actually,
I'm like,
you know what? It wasn't that bad because remember I did the line. We were about a mile and a half in.
Okay.
At that point.
Oh, when we went down into it. I just remember thinking to myself, this is going to be a long day. Just looking at what we were about. And because
if we would have killed him, if we would have killed him when we got in close to him later on that day, we would have been screwed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we would have been bringing the truck around somewhere else for the love of all that's good and holy. There's no way.
I was like, we had to go up and down.
Twice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would have sucked. I was one of those places where I was like, I hope we kill this bull, and I hope we don't kill this bull. But anyway, so, he rips off, and we start, you know, ghosting through the trees, trying to close the distance, because I know now at this point, every time I make a bull sound, he gathers his cows and goes, so I'm not going to do that. Anyway, so we get in close, and we're like, where did he go? He stopped talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where did he go? Now we're at a point in the woods that's like old growth timber. So the understory is pretty open. You know, I'm going from tree to tree, and I'm glassing. I'm like, I don't see freaking elk.
Yeah.
I should be able to pick him up. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I think I cow called once or twice and he didn't answer back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, let me rip a bugle. And he lights up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the second place that I told him, I said, he's either going to be here or going to be here. And so he went up on that bench where the saddle was. And I was like, all right, let's go, man. We got to hump up there fast. We humped up there. We get up there.
I almost died.
We got on the same bench as them over with the wind, you know, in our favor. And we were just going with them. And at one point we got to like, I don't know. It was definitely like 80 yards or less. He was just over that little rise.
Just right around the curve, right over the rise.
Yeah. I could see the top of one of the elk's back, and I was like, oh, yeah, they're like right there. And I'm like, should I rip a bugle? I'm like, should I rip around that bugle? I'm like, at this point now, I'm like, he's going to just take his cows and run.
Yeah.
So what he keeps doing. Let's just try to get close enough where you can spot and stalk him and shoot him, right? And we're going. Now another bull across the way starts ripping like crazy.
Yeah.
Like crazy, crazy, crazy. And now they're going back and forth. They're yelling at each other back and forth. I'm like, great, this is great. This is letting me know where this other one is, and I don't have to do a damn thing. And we're closing the distance. And he wraps around the whole freaking mountain. And we literally traversed around. I mean, we did a 180, and we just let him be. I'm like, this guy's just, he needs to just settle down.
Yeah. Well, then our wind...
Oh, the wind
screwed us over.
Right. Exactly.
Because we were sitting there, we're like, well, what do we do? We kind of got the bird in the hand.
I forgot about that because I knew, asked God. Yeah. Remember?
I told you,
there's a bull across the way and he's stationary. He's not moving. Yeah. And he sounds like he's advertised beautifully, right?
Yeah.
Like to me, to everything, every sound
we thought,
was,
we thought he was a satellite.
I thought he was a satellite because he was
trying to pick up some ladies.
Advertising, and just kept doing it after one after another, one after another, even after that other
one. It wasn't
one
even
up.
In response to the bull most of the time. It was, they were just, he was just kind of going.
Right. And this is one of the first mistakes I made because I thought about it after the fact. He chuckled twice.
Okay.
And that should have cued me in that he had cows. And it didn't. Like, it didn't dawn on me that he had cows until after the fact. But now we're sitting there and we're like, do we keep going after this guy or do we go after this guy across the way? I mean, he's bugling. We're not that far from him. We could just drop down this and go back up the other side. Sucks, whatever. Mm-hmm. More miles, whatever. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I said to myself, like, God, give me a sign. And the wind switches and starts heading right towards where the other, where we left Mr. Bugles. And I'm like, oh shit. All right. Well, that's our sign.
Yeah.
So we headtail it down there. We set up a couple of times because at first the sounds sounded like a lot closer.
Yeah. Well, and he may have come down a little bit. Like he may have come down and over a little bit.
I don't know. He didn't move at all. They were bedded. They were all bedded. We found that out after the fact. But when I first heard him, I wasn't convinced that he was on the ridge across from us. It sounded like originally that he was down in the flat below us.
Well, there was a couple of times he sounded like he was just over the, like just over the drop off. Even there's a couple of responses. Like he sounded pretty close, at least closer than he was.
I didn't think he was. He was like almost 500 yards away, and I thought he was like 2.5. I thought he was about half that distance at first. And then we jumped. We got closer. We cut the distance like 200 yards.
Yeah.
And I start doing a slow play. Because, again, at this point, I'm thinking he's an advertising bull. He's not.
Yeah.
So I'm doing cow sounds and da-da-da.
Well, we set up a good three times, I want to say.
Like, moving in. And then he would, every time we cowled, every time I made a sound, he would bugle. I was like, all right, well, I guess we have to go to you. Anyway, so we cut the distance, and we're going through. And we get to a point, and now we're like right below him. And I'm like, son of a bitch, he's up on this freaking bench right above here. And I'm like, let's just sit here and wait. Because now at this point, it's like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
He shuts up. And we're just sitting there, and I'm like, I don't want to make a sound. I said, he's going to talk. And then, in his bed. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, he's definitely right over here. But the wind sucks, so we need to kind of like kind of circumvent it a little bit.
Well, it kept switching on us.
Yeah, that was bad.
Like, it was.
Well, we were in the bottom of a canyon.
Yeah, it was swirling
still heating
all over
up
the place
for the midday right there. Thermals were going up. Everything was not right.
Yeah,
but
well, the wind was coming down. The thermals were going up. So it like, and then it was
it wasn't good. So anyway, we scoot around, and then Super Guide John Stallone. I quickly glassed, but I didn't like do or like, you know, I didn't pick it apart. I just quickly glassed. I didn't see anything. Again, I'm thinking to myself,
because we're looking for the bull.
I'm thinking he's a lone bull. I'm looking for antlers, tips sticking out. I'm not looking for cows. I'm not looking for anything. And we're literally, I shit you not.
Well, we had set up.
I had just taken my bugle tube, you know, got it ready and put the reed back in my mouth. And I'm like, I'm going to get to that spot right there, and I'm going to bugle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I wasn't going to bugle. I was going to cow call. I'm going to get to that spot. I'm going to cow call right from that spot. We take one step forward, and four of his cows stand up. And I'm like, frick, they're right there. They're like right there, like 70 yards in front of us. Well, they're looking at us, and all of a sudden they start taking off. So automatically at that point, I'm like, nervous grunt, and then I round the bugle, and he just blew our heads off.
Yeah,
like rah! Challenge bugle. I'm like, all right, we run up in there, you know, because he doesn't know he wasn't right there with the cows. He was above them, you know. He doesn't know why those cows are running. He thinks those cows are running because there's another bull coming in. So we run in there, and I'm like, challenge him, and he stops back and he screams at us, and then he starts round up bugling. Mm-hmm. I'm like, son of a bitch. Takes all his cows and he drops off. So I'm like, I know where he's going. And we swung around. Oh no, we went back to that. At this point, we're miles from the truck.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I know where he's gonna go.
I'm like, I know where he's gonna go. Let's let him be. Let's hike back to the truck, eat a hot lunch. We'll take the truck around. We'll come up this other road that gets us way closer to him. That way, if we do kill him, you know, we have the truck close, you know, not 5 miles away. So we hike back over the truck, bippity bop down the road, get into where we want to be, eat lunch. And it's like 3:30. I'm like, let's just chill out for a half an hour. And we'll go in at 4 o'clock. We'll start making our way towards him. We start making our way towards him, and I'm trying to think. I think I...
Well, remember, we went after Mr. Bugles first.
Oh, you're right. We did. Because because he was closer.
Yeah.
We're like, let's try to go after him.
It was because we first were going to go down that road, and the road was all janky.
You're right.
And so we're like, let's go back and we'll go,
We couldn't get down that road that I wanted to get to the other bull first. And they were like, all right, let's go try Mr. Bugles. And then we went over there. We climbed up to the bench that we thought he had bedded at, ripped a bugle, and the other guy answered from across the way.
Yeah, we were getting nothing from Mr. Bugles.
So we ran back down to the truck about a mile, running down the ridge, jump in the truck, scoot over there. You're right. Back to the janky road, exactly. And then we hiked up the road instead of we left the truck because we didn't want to like get a flat or whatever. It was just all boulders. And we hike up the road, and I'm like, all right, I think they're going to be like right here. We climb up on top of this little bench. It was like a mesa that kind of jetted out. And I think I was just rushing. Everything was so rushed at this point because we went over there, we drove over here.
We were kind of running out of time.
Yeah, it was like 5:30-ish already at that point, right? Or maybe even later. I think it was closer to 6.
No, that wasn't when we went way onto the other side. It was that late because we went up the janky road.
Yeah. Okay, you're right.
We caught wind of them, but they were moving.
It was like 5:30. So we got up and I'm like, I'm going to bugle right here and let's see where he's at. And a bugle, and he was like 100 yards from us, but a little further down, and our wind was kind of going that way.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. So like, we got to back up. I said, let's go down to the road, and we didn't. We should have went down to the road, ran down the road, and then came across. But I'm like, you know what? Running down to the road, all right, let's just stay over here. Mm-hmm. So like, we use this rise as our cover. And we moved along, and I'm like, we're coming across this flat, and all of a sudden, these trees get really sparse, and it's wide open, and I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
And I'm going through, and all of a sudden, a cow comes back up the ridge to listen because she heard our footsteps. Yep. And I'm like, there's a cow right there. Stop. 60 yards in front of us. And we're just standing there, having a standoff. Mm-hmm. And then she just turned around and walked away.
Oh, and that was then right when I spotted them.
And you
spotted the rest of the herd, the spikes.
Yeah. So, no, we went forward. I'm like, okay, go set up over here. We were going to try to make a call at this guy at this point now because we were so close to the cows and everything. I'm like, we hadn't tried, we did when we busted them, but that was, we didn't have like a good solid try at them. I'm like, all right, go up there. And as you're walking up there, you looked over to your right. I'm like, oh shit. And you're like, this freaking elk right there. And there was the two spikes walking through, two or three. I don't remember. And that point he was round up. And that's when I first put eyes on that bull. Mm-hmm. He was a good bull. I think he was like 340. I didn't get a good, solid look at him, but finally saw him. Anyway, so I'm like, all right, this is where he's going. Run back to the truck. And we ran all the way around. And we just realized that we weren't going to make it in time. It got dark. Yeah. It was getting dark. And we're like, all right, well.
I think at that point it was like 6:15. Mm-hmm. We had 45 minutes left of being able to shoot whatsoever. And for me, again, I don't do well with the low light. And so we went out, we listened for a while and just to see. And, we kind of figured out where he was, some faint bugles coming over, got a general idea of where he was at and decided, all right, tomorrow
we're
up early.
Tomorrow.
We're going balls to the wall.
That's it.
You know, it's something's going to die, either us or an elk. So let's get home. Let's have a final meal.
Yeah.
And get some rest and before.
Sleep. Shower and go to sleep.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we got out there really early this morning.
Yeah.
Before 5.
I mean, we were out there by 4:30.
Yeah, 4:30. Yeah, 4:30. And my plan was to go back to the same flat.
Where we first located
the same flat where we located him Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or Friday morning, rather.
Yeah.
Yes, the morning before, because we had talked to that guy, the cow hunter that was sitting in the tank that was below, and he said, oh, this bull bugles up here every night, da, 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 which made me think, okay, he's got a pattern. He's going to go back there. But in my head, I'm thinking, it can't be. That can't be the same bull, Remember, I told you that. It's like, it can't be the same bull because that bull is the same bull that we chased from almost 4 miles away. Mm-hmm. This bull has gone 4 miles. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go there and we'll rip a bugle and see if he answers back. If he answers back, then we know what to do. Well, we rip a bugle and sure enough, satellite bull or another bull bugles in a different direction. And we're like, is that a dude? It was kind of yodely. It was very, like, you know, at first I was like, I don't know if that's a real elk. So I'm like, all right, let's go down the road a little bit and let out another bugle. And now he lets out a, you know, like you can tell, you can hear the inflection and you know, like, okay, that's definitely an elk. And I'm like, it's also 5 o'clock in the morning. It's coming from that water hole. There's no car parked right here.
Yeah.
There's no truck parked right here. And yeah, I don't think it's a guy, you know? So we played cat and mouse with him till 6:30.
Yeah.
In the morning, we slipped in again in the dark, you know, tiptoeing.
Set up two or three times.
Yep.
Thought we were
he would just stand out there like, I don't know, maybe, I don't think he was more than 100. I never put eyes on him.
Yeah.
I don't think he was more than 150 yards from us. And he just would not. I mean, I did nothing, you know.
Like even before we went in, it sounded like he was pacing almost. Like,
I hadn't given a bugle since 4:30 that morning. And so it got lighter right before 6, mm-hmm. and I did nothing but cow calls. And then when he didn't come into the cow call, because I was like, he's a lone bull. There's no way.
Yeah.
I'm like, he didn't make defensive sounds when we were bugling. So when I did the two bugles, so I didn't think he had cows. And I may be wrong. I never saw, but I didn't see any elk, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so finally 6:30, we decided, because he's walking away, and I'm like, you know what? We're not going to chase this guy. He doesn't want to play. Like, I don't know. I'm not, whatever I'm speaking, he does not like it.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
when I even told you, like,
time to go back to look for Mr. Bugles.
I was kind of like,
we know where we left him.
I can't get Mr. Bugles off my mind. I remember telling you that. I'm like, I've been thinking about him all morning, man.
Oh,
like,
shit. I mean, he's a giant. Oh, you hadn't seen him.
I hadn't seen him, but like him and the other guy that we chased, like those two, they were the ones that were in my head. They got stuck in my head.
And they were two big bulls. They were two big herd bulls, and they had big harems with, you know, little satellite bulls and spikes and whatever with them.
It's like that's
what you come to Arizona
for. Kind, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we're I'm like, I know where Mr. Bugle's going to be. I said, we're going to bugle here. If he doesn't answer here, we're going to drive down here and he's going to be up on that freaking saddle again. Mm-hmm. So we get over there, get below the saddle, bugle. And he pops off. Actually, he popped. I go, let's just sit here and listen to him and see if he bugles. And he bugled on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But because we were still sitting in the truck at that point, I had the doors open.
Yeah.
We didn't get out. I couldn't tell exactly where it came from. And I'm like, I'm going to rip a bugle, but I'm going to face it in the other direction and kind of make him think I'm further away. And I did that. And he just let us have it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay. I know exactly where it is. I marked it right on the Onyx. I'm like, he's right there. I know where he is. So we hightail it. And the cool thing is we had all those cattle. The Moo Moo cows were on that hillside, like all in the trees, and they're walking around making noise and shit. I'm like, dude, we could just fly up this. We can make as much noise as we want. They're not going to know it's us. So we went up that and got off on top. And above him and to the right of him.
We were far enough over because the wind kept switching, so we were a little bit. It wasn't directly at him, but it was like heading that direction. We weren't 100% sure where he was at, so we wanted to stay far enough away to where he wasn't going to get hit with our wind, I remember. And
I know we're just sitting up there, sitting in the shade, we're having a little snack, and I'm trying to think, like, how am I going to approach this? Mm-hmm. Every thought, when I even put a post on Instagram, which didn't post until after we killed your goal.
Oh, funny.
Didn't post again because I didn't have enough service.
Like,
it showed us that we had LTE up there, but nothing was, I couldn't even get a text
message. That's been this whole hunt.
But anyway, so I put this post up there. I'm like, I did this yesterday, and I had this whole, like, you know, story and the map and where the bull was and the wind and everything. And I'm like, I just want to see what my peers say, just for shits and giggles. Yeah. You know, just, I'd like to hear what their thought was. You know, in my head, I got a plan. And my plan is we're going to sit here for as long as we have to, because I know that son of a bitch is going to get up from that bench and he's going to come this way, and we're above him, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, as long as it's not 6:30 tonight when he does that, and our thermal's going down, we should be good. He's going to come around this little bench, which wraps around and hits the saddle, and he's going to go where he wants to go, right? Where he had gone.
And we were packed in for the long haul. We were prepared to sit there.
I literally had 4 pounds of snacks in my freaking backpack.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, you know, if I'm not leaving this spot, I'm not. My stomach is not going to force me to get off the mountain.
Like, from the second we drove out, we're like, all right.
Because I'm a slave to my stomach. Everybody knows who hunts with me knows I'm a slave to my stomach. But I'm like, in my head, I'm like, we're going to stay here, and they're either going to work their way towards us, or the wind's going to pick up, and we're going to be able to come across the top of this, and I'm going to be able to sneak in and spot and stalk them. And I just said to you, I'm like, you know, I said, if I had one of my other guides with me right now, I said, I would have them go back down to the truck and keep bugling and keep this guy fired up and his attention, and we'd slip in on him. Sure as shit, I hear a truck come down the road and they stop and they're like, meow. He lights up. I'm like, okay, here we go. And because he lit up, those guys were bugling at him.
Yeah.
They were cow calling at him, everything. And I'm like, they're going to harass him enough that he's going to get up and leave. I'm like, we need to freaking get across.
Away. Yeah.
We're hustling across the top. Well,
and with both of them bugling, anytime either one of them would bugle, we could nearly sprint down the
mountain. Yeah, every time you bugle, we get a little bit faster and a little more aggressive.
I say sprint. I mean really big steps.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't really a sprint. We were tiptoeing across because I was like, I didn't want it.
Any chance.
I don't want him to think it's another bull coming in.
I don't think anything. I kicked a single damn rock the entire time.
You did good. We came across, and it's on top of that mesa. It's like, not a mesa, on top of that ridge, it's flat. It's kind of nice, you know? So I'm like, we're just going across, and I'm like, I quickly look at the topo, and I'm like, oh, there's a little saddle above where he's at. We need to get to that, because when these guys he's going to come up, and he's going to come up on top of this flat and drop over to the other side. Guaranteed. So get over there. I'm like, oh, and I can see it ahead of me. I'm like, glassing. I'm like, oh, there's that boulder pile. Let's get over to that boulder pile. We're going to be right there. Get over there. And I kneel down and I look through the trees and now I can see it. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yep.
I'm like, he's like 350, 360 bull. I'm like, oh, dude, he's freaking awesome. I'm like, can you see me? Like, no, I can't see him.
And I could catch a little movement from the cows and the spikes and stuff like on the side. Because I was further back and down from you a little bit off to the side. There's trees in the way and stuff.
Yeah, I know. But you didn't have the same angle though.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm like, this is perfect. I'm like, you need to move up. They said, next time he bugles, move up here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And he rips another one.
Climbing over you.
Yeah. Using me as a pogo. Yeah, I got it. But you get in there and you get into position. I'm like, all right, they're going to come right up. They're going to come right up over here.
I mean, it was the only way they could come.
I can hear the bugles from down below getting closer now. I'm like, they're coming up. They're coming up. These guys are going to come up right at these elk. And that's what they were doing. And all of a sudden, he rips a freaking roundup bugle. I'm like, here they come. Yeah, they're coming. I'm like, get ready. They're coming. He's going to be the last one.
And you can see him at this point. You can see them all moving. They're coming. Yeah. They're like,
caravan of cows walk past us at 20 yards. And
cows, there's a couple of are they called yearlings for elks too?
Yeah, yeah.
Like there was a couple that looked like yearlings.
There was.
There's, I mean, maybe six all together between the cows and the yearlings. And then.
And then there was
a couple of spikes behind
them. Two spikes and then a raghorn bull.
Yeah.
And he was the last in that line. And I could see the big bull and he was kind of like coming this way, but he wasn't like.
You couldn't like.
He wasn't 100% on the same beeline as them. And at that point, I'm like, you drew back.
Yeah. I drew back because I'm like, okay, I don't know where he's going to be looking. Right. I don't know what these cows are going to do. So I'm like, I'm going to draw and hold as long as I damn well need to.
Right.
Like, you know, and thanks to what you had me practice with the draw, not like sit there freaking aiming the whole time, but like just draw.
Right.
Hold naturally. And I mean, I was lucky enough. We were in a really nice setup of a spot too. Like
we couldn't ask for a better spot.
Yeah. It was money. It was like perfect.
I knew it was going to funnel window them right there. And so I was like, all right, cool. They got to come right up. They're coming up right through here.
And so I'm watching them come up and I'm looking to see, I see the raghorn coming up. And I mean, he was a respectable elk. Like he was a little 4x4, you know,
whatever.
Pretty little raghorn.
Makes you happy,
he would have been nice in a few years.
Yeah.
um, And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, here's the, I'm thinking to myself this whole time, I'm drawn back. And I'm also looking
ready.
At these.
I'm sitting there ready if I got to make a nervous grunt. I'm videoing with my other hand. And I'm like,
I'm watching these cows like just stare at me because they know something's going on.
Yeah, they came
they don't,
up,
they don't
came
really,
up and above and they were looking back and they're like, looking. And I'm like,
they're like, something's off. And I'm like, all right. And I'm, so this is what's going through my head. I'm seeing this raghorn coming up and I'm like, I can't see the herd bull. I know he's there.
Uh-huh.
You got, you know. And we're pretty sure
he was back a ways. He was back probably 50, 60 yards.
And so I can't see where he's at. And we also don't know where the rest of his herd's at.
Right.
And so he could be going up another way. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, if I walk home with this bull, I'm going to be happy as hell.
Right.
I'm going to be so stinking happy. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, the oldest saying in the book, you hear it from every hunter. Don't. And again, it's the last day, so regardless, right. I'm not passing it on the first day.
Right.
But, you know, you don't pass on the first day what you gladly take on the last.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, and then I'm also looking at these cows staring at me. I don't know what the hell they're going to do if they're going to suddenly decide to freak the hell out. And
they actually started walking away before you shot.
Did they?
Yeah.
Because, so I see the spikes are kind of up here, and it's getting a little traffic jammy up there. Mm-hmm. They kind of... paused up, and so I'm tracking this bull.
Yeah, and he stops,
and I'm like, and I didn't expect him to stop totally because I thought I had totally lost track of what these elk were doing.
That's fine. You got
and so I'm thinking he's gonna walk through, and so I'm leading him just a hair, and he stops right as I let go, and so.
And you smoked him.
The shot. Oh man. The shot goes, and I'm like. I'm like, I heard it. Like, I remember hearing it. Like, there's no doubt.
Like a mule. And he ran, and I was like.
And he was off.
All I thought in my head was like, you smoked him. But I heard.
But I kept getting nervous.
I heard your arrow hit the wood on the, because you skewered the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, did he shoot low? So I went back and I could hear the herd bulls come in now. Mm-hmm. So I blast a bugle at him because he heard their cows running.
Yeah.
I was like, I blast a bugle at him, and he's freaking fired up. I'm like trying to look through the video
at the same time while controlling the herd bull.
Controlling the herd bull, looking at the video to make sure that if you didn't hit him, we could shoot this herd bull.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you missed, I'm like, no, you hit him, dude.
Yeah.
You hit him.
You look at it, and you're even like, I'm at this point, like, I was perfectly fine. I was focused.
Uh-huh.
I was remembering everything I was supposed to, like, beforehand. And like, I was good. Like, I was almost kind of surprised. I'm like, I don't feel like my heart calmed down, all of that.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like in the zone. But then afterwards, you could probably hear me even. I was like,
oh yeah, you were. Yeah, you had a really good.
I couldn't even breathe.
You're shaking.
I was shaking.
When you give me the high five, you're like, oh.
I was like, I could catch, I had the call cow in my mouth.
Right.
Just from earlier, and I was watching it like shake in my mouth, and
that was awesome.
I'm like, oh man, it was like all of that adrenaline hitting, like all of the freaking 4 years worth of elk hunting hitting me at once. You finally, you're like, well, take a look, and I'm like, look, and I'm like, I had to have hit him,
yeah.
And
because you said to me that you didn't think you couldn't see your fire knock.
Yeah, and the nocturnal, I couldn't see it flashing anywhere. And I thought the angle was a little bit different than it actually was. And I'm like, man, did I hit his shoulder and like, did it like wedge in there?
Well, I'm like, no, because he didn't run away with an arrow. And I'm like, you didn't.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You would have seen that if he was running away.
You either got a pass through
or
you missed him. That's all in my head. So then now the herd bull's out of the picture.
We kind
of
realized he wasn't going to come up our way. And
at that point, no. And so I started looking. I'm like, oh, dude, you smoked him. Couldn't hit him better.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't hit him better. So we get over there.
When I remember, I kind of sat up a little bit. Yeah. And I was like, I see it. I could only see the flashing knock, though. I couldn't see if there was anything on it.
Right.
And so I'm still like, oh.
All right, we got up. We went over there. We looked. There's blood literally where you shot him.
Yeah.
And then the arrow was covered in blood and was stuck into a tree.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that thing was wedged a good inch at least into the tree.
Single bevel, two blade, man. Like, that's like the kudu. That was a kudu point you shot.
Yep.
I mean, that's great broadhead.
Heavy that, arrow.
I gave them good reviews on my when I did the broadhead testing. I love that head actually. Heavy arrow. You know, you boo through the.
I mean, cutting ahead a little bit. Yeah, we'll tell it now. I mean, and I thought because I was tracking with him and he stopped a little more suddenly than I expected. I shot a little far forward, ended up punching through the back end of both shoulders.
Yeah,
like, and it's still two shoulders and still plowed a good inch solid into that tree.
Yeah,
pulled that thing out. I looked at it. I could shoot another elk with this thing right now. It is not like even like.
That's awesome. Time to go get Kudu as a sponsor now.
Jeez. Hey, guys. If anybody's listening now.
No, seriously. Like, and I walked over there and I saw blood. And it took me a little second to figure out the
direction. Well, because I saw like one drop kind of walking to the arrow.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, you know, we didn't see like a big splash. Well,
that's the one drawback to having a, you know, inch and a quarter cut or whatever. It's like you don't.
You don't get as gaping of a wound.
Right. Yeah, and the same thing. So sometimes tracking, but usually they don't, if they well-placed shot, they don't go far, as is the case with yours. Mm-hmm. So we start tracking it, and I just get up to this. I'm like 30 yards down the track, and I look up, and I see the bull, and I'm like, come up over here. Come up over here. There's the blood over
I'm
here.
I'm like, okay. Because I'm like helping you mark last blood and stuff like that. And so you're like, all right, come on up. And I'm like looking down like... like, okay, and I'm getting ready to stand. I kind of look up. I'm like, oh.
You went 50 yards and piled up.
If even, man. Like,
that was awesome.
Oh, that was so
and
good.
And on a flat spot on this flat top. So glory, made it nice. Could you imagine if it was freaking on the side of that steep-ass shit?
Oh, no,
that would have been no fun. Yeah, we made quick work of them and packed them out, and now we're here. Back at the lodge.
Two trips, the lodge.
The house that I rented for us to have for this week. But
we took him out in two trips. That was pretty good.
Yeah, two trips. Because it was close enough. We could have, we loaded up the bags.
We weren't concerned about having to hike up the side of a hill to get back to the
track. Yeah, it was all downhill.
It was all glory, hallelujah.
Right? I mean, downhill sucks too, though. Like,
I will admit my knees started... started getting a little sketchy towards the end and stuff, but
yeah,
man. I mean, what a freaking nobody can say we didn't work for it.
Oh shit, man!
What was it? 16 hours yesterday?
Yep.
On Friday,
we were on the bull from 4 a.m. till 7.
Over 10 miles of hiking up and down. You know, we put in some good work. I mean, the whole time we really did.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
I mean, I learned a lot. I would love to hear from you. You know, we talked about the stalking end, like and the walking. Just even anytime you're walking through the woods, you know, it's just place your steps, be careful. You know, how you're walking, take into account what's going on.
You can't do much about the crunch.
Yeah,
but animals crunch, deer crunch, elk crunch when they walk through. Not as much as we do because the surface area of our foot's way larger. I mean, look how big an elk is, and you know he's got a 5-inch hoof.
Yeah,
and you got a 12-inch hoof.
Exactly.
You know, but they don't kick rocks. They don't scuff their feet. They don't. I mean, I shouldn't say they don't kick. Every once in a while, you'll hear rocks.
Yeah,
but that's got to be really loose stuff. You know, where rocks tumble or whatever. But and I think those. They cue into that stuff. And then they may not bust or whatever. An elk may not bust because of that, but he'll be on higher alert versus, that's just another elk walking above me.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. That's what I've noticed over the years. But
talking about other stuff, like that learnings from this, one of the big things we talked about was scent control with elk hunting. And, you know, a lot of people roll their eyes at that. You know, it's, oh, well, you know, what's, you know,
play if you're the wind, play the wind, play the
either wind. You play the wind or you don't. Like, right. You don't need to send control.
Right.
And again, the whole thing we discussed was the wind swirls all the time. You're going into these little holes or whatever, right. You know, the wind's going to swirl, the wind's going to switch, and it can do one of two things. It can give you that extra few seconds
right.
that you need to draw when they're still just trying to figure out what's going on, or it can, you know, I think the best way you illustrated it, it almost gives the effect that you're further away
yeah.
by your scent.
So like, just a little, and I don't know if I told you this or not, but
yeah.
I think I did. The for the listeners anyway, my let me explain where I'm coming from. So I developed a no scent-free products years and years ago, like 20 years ago. I did tons and tons of research. Matter of fact, I wish I still had this video. It's on an SD mini DV tape that I think is ruined. They got ruined from a flood, but I got video of me laying in a pile of leaves next to some corn, whatever, and a white-tailed doe comes up and is eating the corn, and I'm clearly where she could smell me,
mm-hmm.
and I pop up and smack her in the face.
Shit.
And like, you know, I did a bunch of testing like that, like purposely coming with the wrong wind, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple years ago in Utah, this is a good example. The wind was great. I was like, okay, cool. And I pop over, took peek over the edge, and I feel the wind hitting me in the back of the head. I'm like, it's literally, the wind is beelining it straight down to this buck. And I even puff my wind puffer, and I could see the freaking white dust hitting him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm screwed. I'm like, I better do this now or he's going to bust out of here. You know? So I come over the edge, or I draw back, and then I pop over the edge, and he's just sitting there, and I'm just waiting. And then he's just lifting up his nose, and he's looking around, and I'm like, and I'm at full draw, and I'm like at full draw for a minute.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was over a minute. And then he stands up and he's looking around and he's trying to figure out what's up. He's getting a whiff of me, but it's not a full on blow a scent in his face because it was the first stalk in the morning. I had put on fresh clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I sprayed down. I took my shower that morning. You know, I did everything that I could to control or minimize my scent. And he turns, but now he turns and he's facing straight at me, and it's a 50-yard shot. And the wind's blowing pretty good, and I already had been holding back, and I missed him. I whiffed it.
Oh.
I whiffed it. But the point is, had I not taken the time to control my scent, that opportunity would not. Yeah, he smelt me, but
it wasn't. I think I quit.
Exactly. I think I equated in my head to they smell you, but they're like, oh, there's a human like 200-300 yards away, or a human walked through here at some point today.
Yeah.
Not there's a human standing right above me,
mm-hmm.
ready to shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
So. And that's what I equated to. And like you said, you can't control the wind. So do everything you can.
Do you? It's the
do
question
whatever
of
you can do possible to.
How much is it worth? Is it worth it to you to take a shower?
Yeah.
Like, and again, if you're spending 10 days in the backcountry, like with nothing else, there's only so much you can do. Clearly, right. But if you're coming back to your truck, you're coming back to a cabin or a house every day.
Yep.
It's probably worth it. Yeah, to take that extra half an hour it takes to. You know, swap out your camo or, you know, take that shower, run a little laundry, whatever it takes. Now, the one big thing that I totally understand, totally believe you, but I'm too superstitious to do that you got on my case about.
Oh, yeah. Is your sticky
ass hat. And I think this is honestly something that people should know because you don't think about that. You do think like, oh, you take all of this care to clean your camo.
Why are you washing your camo? Why are you taking a shower every morning when you're this next to your armpits and your groin? The stinkiest thing is your head. And you literally have a hat that looks like you rolled it in shit. And I mean, it's sweat stains. I mean, it's
salty,
a badge of honor.
It's
gross.
Yeah.
Man. It's disgusting. It's
a you're foul, disgusting thing.
You're grossing me out. But no, it's all joking aside, is that's a beacon of smell right there. So, I mean, it just clean the hats. All my hats go in the laundry with my camo and get cleaned. Yeah, they don't have the greatest shape. Like, I'm not a, I don't have perfectly form fitted to my head every time, you know.
You're also not rocking a flat brim either, so.
Yeah, exactly. I don't give a shit what I look like in the field. You know, it's like.
But so we talked about, again, we talked about stalking, we talked about scent, the importance of those things. Any other things? I would love to hear from you what I should be focusing on for next elk season. Obviously,
honestly, so
my shooting.
We talked about this after the shot because I didn't want to introduce doubt to you, but you were scaring the shit out of me going into this because you had so much doubt about how you were shooting and your rig, the way you had it set up. Like we had to do some
a little bit of jury rigging, not heavy,
but we did some tuning when you came in, and you know we made some adjustments, but like. Those arrows are like spaghetti noodles for how much weight you got up front.
Yeah.
It's definitely got a spine issue. And I was concerned. I was concerned about it because if we had to take a longer shot, that might come into play.
Yeah.
20 yards, 19 yards or whatever that shot was today. Like, you know, you could have threw your bow at him and probably killed him.
Yeah. So, and I mean, and I was grouping with him. I knew I could make the shot. I just got really, really into my head about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm an overthinker. I'm always going to be an overthinker. And I know pretty much immediately after, I need to get a new string anyway. But, I mean, pretty much immediately after this, I'm going to start working on my shooting again. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to effectively reteach myself how to shoot.
Right.
I'm going to go in. I'm going to get my 3 points. I'm going to really work on my shooting. I'm going to work on my arrow setups a lot more now and take the time well before the season to do it.
I'm going to simplify it. This is the best way to look at everything. There's so many things in hunting that you cannot control. You can't control the animal. You can't control the weather. You can't control the wind. You can't control the terrain. When the rut comes, you can't control any of that. So control everything that you have power to control. That's the tune of your bow, the arrows you're shooting, how physically prepared you are, how well practiced you are, putting yourself in, you know, as many lifelike scenarios as possible, practicing your elk calls. I mean, just anything that you can improve and try to minimize the chance of user error or having, you know, do it. Devil's in the details, you know. The guys who, year in, year out, the guys that I've seen are the guys that spend a lot of time on the details. Those are the guys that always have success, consistent success. You know, there's something there that could be said about putting in a lot of time, putting in a lot of hard work on the actual hunt itself. That pays off usually, you know. There's no substitute for time in the field, but next to no substitute for time in the field, it's attention to the details.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as simplified as you can get it.
Well, on that note, I think that's a good spot to wind it down. So remind the folks where they can find you on the interwebs.
Well, social media, John Stallone, pretty much everywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, YouTube. My podcast is Days in the Wild, formerly Interviews with the Hunting Masters. You can stitch your iPhone, you know, or excuse me, iPod, whatever. Apple Podcasts. Sorry.
I'll put in a little shameless plug here too. Coming up soon. I see a new website coming out.
Yeah, that's right.
been on my other side of things, as you guys have probably been listening to the commercials have heard, I run a digital marketing agency for folks in the outdoor industry, and John and I have been working together on a new website, which should be launching in hopefully the next week, basically whenever I kind of get settled back down to somewhere with solid internet reception.
Yeah.
We finishing up the last details, so make sure you check out his awesome new website.
That is. It's pretty freaking awesome, dude. I'm excited about
it. I'm pretty stoked how it turned out. Like, I got to say, like, this is one of my favorite.
You could give yourself a pat on the back.
I'm definitely giving myself a pat on the back for that one.
It came out really good. It's exactly what I envisioned. I'm happy about it. It's a lot cleaner. It's summed up a couple of my... I have several websites.
Had like 30 years worth of freaking websites
right
all over the place that we had to consolidate info from.
So if you go to daysinthewild.com...
In the next... Hopefully by the time this airs,
now,
it'll be
if
up.
If you go there now, you see my...
Yeah, you still have the website.
You still have my guiding website, but we've made everything under one website right now.
Yeah. So hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll have it up, but we will see.
Yeah.
But yeah, John Stallone, Days in the Wild. Make sure y'all go check him out. Give him some love. But man, it's been freaking an ass kicker of a day, a few days. And again, I think I said it before. I should have known. This is how Arizona goes for me.
Yeah.
Every successful hunt I've had here has happened last minute, last day.
That's cool.
And so why I thought this would be any different, but man, it's been fun. Thank you.
Likewise. Yeah, it was a good time. I love being a part of somebody's first. That's like, you know, it's awesome to be a part of that experience. And I got it on video, so you got some memories, and I got your reaction, so you'll be able to recall that.
Nice. And now I want to take a shower. You got a wife to get home to.
I do.
Wife and kids. And I want to get out of this crusty, bloody...
I still got blood on my forearms, dude.
Yeah, dude. Like,
I got blood on my elbows and my forearms.
I think it's going to be a month before I get it out from like under my nails. And
yeah, after I spent all that hard time doing the gutless method.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only thing I want to punch Sam in the face for. He's like, hey, can we get the heart?
I want the heart. And I forgot to tell him at the beginning, so we do the whole gutless method.
I'm like literally clean. I got nothing on me at that point.
I could have reached in. You were the one that chose to reach in on your own. You're like, here, start pulling stuff out. I'm like, okay. So I started pulling stuff out. You're like, okay, that's good. And you reach right in. I'm like, all right.
The blood clot that was coming out of him was like cheese. It was giant. It was awesome.
Dear Lord, that looked like freaking liver. They were so big. That's awesome. All right. I'm going to call it. Thank you again for stopping by. All right, y'all. That'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure to check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. That'll do it for this week. Looking forward to next time. But until then, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher, and head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.